In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning. It's one of those great days as I'm looking at my Bible. I don't know if yours is like this, has little subtitles for the various topics within the scripture. That's not in the manuscripts, by the way. That's the translation. But this one for today in the Gospel according to Luke starts out, "Repent or perish." And I went, "That's for me." Yeah, it's really a really wonderful passage. It also includes a parable that we heard. But it really takes in just a few verses, I believe, this concept of urgency and hope. Now, you may not find a concept of hope in the listing of repent or perish, but it is. You're just going to have to trust me on it. And in this season of Lent, it's one of my favorite Lenten readings that we get to hear every 3 years as we go through our rotation. So, we begin with Jesus trying to set right a misconception. He says, "At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he asked them, 'Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did.'" Then he shares another story. He goes, "Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." So when I hear that, I imagine Jesus is there with this group of people, whomever they may be, and they're sharing this story. "Hey, did you hear?" And I suspect his response is based on what he's gaining from them. As if maybe they think that they're okay because such a thing didn't happen to them. I must be okay because I didn't get my blood mingled with the sacrifices. So Jesus' response is, do you think they were worse sinners than anybody else? Apparently they must have. Not to mention the fact that they're carrying with them this old understanding that those who are afflicted in some way or suffering in some way are being punished by God. This was an understanding that they may have had. Some people still have it. As a child, that was certainly my understanding, perpetuated either by the church or my parents, I don't know which. When you're youngest of six kids, you got to use the parents use every tool possible to keep you in line. And certainly one of those tools was, "God will get you for that." "If you're lying to me, God will get you for that." So I was not particularly fond of God as a child, and I had, quite frankly, no desire to be anywhere near him. Because he was just going to get me for all these things that I was going to do, and I just knew I was going to do them. That isn't the way God works. Jesus is trying to set this straight. These people were victims of the sinful, broken world in which we live. These things happened, not because of the level of their sin, but because of the fact that this is a fallen world. There are things that happen. There are diseases. There are brokenness. There are broken people. There are people who do things to other people. Good people have bad things happen. You've heard that, right? It hasn't to do with the sin, and I don't think I need to correct that understanding here, do I? Now, you all know that. When someone is afflicted, we don't immediately get together and go, what do you think they did this time? Hopefully at some point, we reach a place of compassion, care, and love for them, and we pray for them. We may pray over them. But we don't ever think, apparently they got what they deserved because God got them for it. That's not the way we think, and that is not what Jesus is trying to correct that among these people. In fact, I think we have a slightly, maybe it's even worse, because that's a fairly easy thing to correct, that understanding that he's talking about. I think we need to hear more in his urgency what he's saying to them. But unless you repent, then you will perish as they did. I have a sense that the initial thing they may want to repent of is the fact that because they didn't receive this affliction, they thought they were somehow better than the ones who did. See, we have a habit of seeing our lives that way. Now, most of us are doing pretty good, as far as I know. I've been visiting some hospitals and homes, but I have not been called down to the jail. If you get there, call me, I'll come. But so we're doing pretty good on the things that we've done. And I think we're trying to repent of those things. But I think there's another piece to it that starts to come out in the parable that maybe we're more likely to let go. See, we've been trained along the way to be, well, maybe you haven't, but I have. How many of you were trained to be quiet about your faith? See, in my house, there are two things you didn't talk about. Politics and? We learned it well, didn't we? So as a result, we've learned to be very quiet about our faith. And then we'll look at others and we'll think, well, you know, I don't know if they know Jesus, but they seem to be a good person. And sometimes I think we will claim that ourselves. I think I'm okay. I'm a good person. Which basically means we haven't done anything that really appears to be wrong, or at least we were not caught doing it. I'm a good person. I don't need to go to church. I don't think I need all those things that you talk about there, Father Brian. I find God when I'm at the beach. I generally find cigarette butts when I'm at the beach, but perhaps God is there. But the fact of the matter is, there's a difference between finding God and a difference in meditating on God and God's word and seeking his presence and then bringing our worship to him. We come here to bring our worship to God for all these things that he's done, maybe when we were at the beach. It's not just about being a good person. There's more. And that's what the parable begins to speak about. And before we enter into the parable, I want you to think back to our confession. Now, we are doing it a little different during Lent, aren't we? So we begin the service with your ministers on their knees before the altar, saying the confession along with you. Because this is what we call a penitential season. The idea is that we will hear what Jesus is saying today, that we should repent or perish. But we change it up so that it becomes a little different for you, and I hope you're hearing the confession maybe a little bit different. But what I want you to hear today is the part that states that we confess all the things we've done in thought, word, and deed, the things that we have done and the things that we have left. I want to talk about undone. We can all grab a hold of the things we've done and said, oh, well, I shouldn't have done that. Usually because somebody else lets us know we shouldn't have. And we can repent of that, usually pretty easily. But the things left undone, that's different. If we just decide, well, I'm a good person, we're not getting the fullness of what God's called us to be. There are a lot of good people. And some of them are Christians. But God's calling us to be more than just that. And in this parable, he begins to speak of that, also with hope. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, see here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? He replied, sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not,
you can cut it down. We're planted, brothers and sisters, in the vineyard. We can be like this tree. We could just be present. The tree was present. It was there. It was alive. It had leaves on it. And it was growing in some fashion, but it didn't bear fruit. Things left undone. See, there's more. Here's the hope. The gardener has been called upon. Jesus, the gardener, is here to do his work on us so that we can do his work through us and bear his fruit. Have you ever dug around the roots of a tree? Have you ever done that without hitting a root? And sometimes we, depending on the tree you're digging around, you look at what you've done with that shovel and you go, I hope I didn't go too deep on that one. That looked like a good root, right? And some of them are just little ones that are going off in crazy directions and you're like, ugh, that one's not doing anything, I'll just take it out. See, sometimes our roots are down because we're planted in the vineyard. And some of them are solid. Some of them are chasing nourishment in the wrong direction. They might get cut off. We may end up looking like the tree roots ourselves. There may be times when we get nicked and we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That was a little close to home, we might say. Yeah, well, it was probably supposed to be. Because maybe home isn't where it's supposed to be. It's correction is what we're talking about. It's about allowing the gardener to reach in and help us, and in our own words, to be our savior. To dig around, to fertilize us, to help us grow into who God created us to be. The one who planted us, the creator, let him be the one that turns through the power of the incarnate God, Jesus Christ, and says, come on. There's more to it. You're not just supposed to be here existing. There are things to be done. There is fruit for God that comes through us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the big part of it. Like, we can go join groups anywhere and spend an hour a week sitting listening to somebody or something. But we're invited in. There's a lot of places that do nice things that are filled with good people, but we're the church. It's not just about being good people. You're going to be good people by default. It's talking about being followers of Jesus Christ, doers of his word, the people who carry within us the very Spirit of God to the world. Fruit, brothers and sisters, fruit. That's what he's looking for. And he's not just waiting for you to figure it out. He sent the gardener. The gardener said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me dig around here a little bit. Let me see what this tree can bring before you just do away with it. But it's not forever. See, God initiated this kingdom when he died on the cross and rose again through Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God was initiated. We can see it, can't we? We can see the glory of God through Jesus Christ. Amen? It's been initiated. And then we walk out these doors and we go, whoa, wait a minute. Doesn't look like the kingdom, does it? Most of the time it doesn't. In fact, very often it looks like quite the opposite. And we got two choices. We can run back in here to safety, and we can wait it out. And we can repent of our sins, all our thought, word, and deed, by what we have done. But you better be careful with the undone part, because we're called to bear fruit in His name. So we can sit in safety, or we can let the gardener dig around. We might take a few nicks here and there. We may lose a root that we thought was firmly attached to a place it needed to be for our nourishment, and God may say, no, you got it wrong. We can be empowered by His Holy Spirit and go out those doors and see the world for what it really is, broken, damaged, sinful, and desperate. And we can carry the good news and the hope because we've experienced it through our own lives, being transformed by His grace and His mercy. In this time of grace, we can do that. But it won't be forever. In this parable, I don't know how long a year is. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been digging around these roots for a very long time. Thankfully, it was more than 1 year. Because it just takes me longer. But I do know it's not forever. There's an urgency. And this may sound like a lot of fire and brimstone for you. I didn't write it. God's speaking to us through His Word. And He's saying, the gardener's here. Let him dig around. Let him fertilize you so that you can grow and become that which God created you to be instead of falling for the lies that the world's been telling you. The time for us to do that is now. As Episcopalians, we take it so seriously. We spend this entire season of Lent in that process. So for the rest of this Lenten season, I want you all to invite the gardener in. Let him dig around. Fall down on your knees and repent. And hear what you're saying when you do that. All the sins that we may have committed in thought, word, and deed, and the things that we have done, and the things that we have left undone. Let's not leave it undone. He's going to do it through you, but He has to work on you first. Well, always. Let's just be honest. Let Him. It may hurt a little. But the time that we have to do it isn't forever. I didn't write it, but I for sure want you to hear it. Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, cut it down. We live in a time of grace. But there will be a judgment. Like it, don't like it. Tell me it's not Episcopalian. I don't really care. I didn't write the book. It's my job to say to you, don't just exist in the vineyard. Bear fruit. Amen.